Well, I have a topic today that's somewhat of a review topic too, but it's a very important topic. And to begin, let's turn over to Exodus 20 and verse 8. Exodus 20 and verse 8. And let's read verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath, brethren, is the subject of the fourth commandment. Keeping the seventh-day Sabbath is one of the fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God. And it effectively separates us from all those out there that call themselves Christian today. Not saying they're bad people, they just are not called to know about the Sabbath at this point, but we do. Today we will discuss why God created the Sabbath and guidelines for how we as God's people might observe it. So point number one, let's go back to the beginning. The Sabbath was created by God. Point number one, the Sabbath was created by God. You know, the fourth commandment we just read says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember implies the Sabbath existed before Exodus 20 and verse 8. If I said, remember, when we went to the feast, that means a feast was in the past, and it was something I want you to recall. And when God said, remember the Sabbath day, he was telling them something that had existed for a long time. Genesis 2 and verse 2. I won't be using technology today, so we'll be turning pages, and that means you'll be able to keep up, because I have to turn pages too. Genesis 2 and verse 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made. Now, he wasn't tired, but he did it by example. He did it by example. After the 6 days of creation, he created the Sabbath by resting. He made it holy. He sanctified it. He made it special. He set it apart. And we have evidence in the scripture that it was observed by the patriarchs. So point number two, from the beginning, God's people, those called by God in that time, kept the Sabbath. Let me show you what I mean. Genesis 18, verse 17. Genesis 18, verse 17. Now this was just before the angels of God were going to pull Lot out of Sodom and also destroy it. I'm going to read to you from the New American Standard Bible. That's a very literal translation, but it's in modern language, so it reads pretty well in this case. Genesis 18 and verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Think about this word righteousness. In order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. He said, he will be righteous and I'm going to bring about what I promised him. Well, if a person is righteous, what do they do? Again, the Bible interprets the Bible, Psalm 119, verse 172. If you want a good memory scripture, this is a good one. Psalm 119, verse 172, buried within the longest psalm we have, verse 172. What does it say there? Psalm 19, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are what? Righteousness. So when he says Abraham was doing righteousness, he's saying Abraham was obeying all his commandments. That includes the Sabbath day, doesn't it? Speaking to Isaac, God says over in Genesis 26 and verse 4, Genesis 26 and verse 4, I'm going to give you a workout today. It's good. You know, one thing we do in the Church of God is that we turn to the Bible because we want you to see what we're preaching about, and we're not going to give you something that's not in here to the best of our ability. Not saying it's always perfect, but we try and hard to do that, and we want you to turn and read this stuff along with us so you see that we're giving you the words that God spoke, and we will expound those as we see. Genesis 26 and verse 4. Genesis 26 and verse 4. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in all your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Sounds a lot like what he told Abraham, doesn't it? This is Isaac, his son. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, all of them, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac was also told the same thing, and God reiterated, Abraham obeyed my commandments. All 10, and his statutes, and his laws. Point number 3. After the patriarch, Sabbath keeping among God's people diminished. Somewhere between Jacob and Moses, the Sabbath was forgotten by most. And 400 years of slavery was a big part of that, I'm sure. I may have mentioned this before when I've been here, but I'll mention it again because it applies in this case. The people who were in slavery in Egypt did not have a lot of say about when they worked and when they did not work. They worked when they were told to work. And to compound that, the Egyptians had a 10-day week. We think, well, the 7-day week, that's normal. Well, it is. But the Egyptians and also the Romans had a 10-day week. Now, fortunately, when the Romans had a 10-day week, Israel was established in Palestine, and they kept their own calendar at that time. But at this time, they were in slavery. How long would it take you to forget the Sabbath if you had a 10-day week? Probably about 2 weeks. And if they told you to work, you worked. Okay? Or they beat you. It was not a very good time for the people of God. So once they were freed from Egypt, God had to re-indoctrinate them into his way to show them what day was the Sabbath. People say, well, how do you know that day was a Sabbath, you know, with the slavery and everything? Well, he started over again when he took them out at Sinai and said, okay, now we're going to march, and we're going to gather, and on the Sabbath we're going to rest. And he taught them through doing, like you train your children. I don't know if your children are like my children, but they didn't get it the first time. It took a few iterations, a little correction, till it became a habit. And lo and behold, today my kids obey the Sabbath. Wow, what a concept. Little by little, step by step. And that's what he did with them. Exodus 16, verse 23. Exodus 16, verse 23. Get the right one here. May have had the wrong verse. Exodus 16, verse 23. Anyway, you tell me where this is. I'll read it to you. Quiz. Now look at it. I was on 15. No wonder. I got the right scripture here. I was on the wrong chapter. It's amazing how that happens. Kind of like that song that fell out of the book, you know? Exodus 16 and verse 23. Here we go. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning." We're talking about the manna here. Remember, you're out in the desert. You got 3 million people with you. What are you going to feed them? God says, "I can handle that." So he let manna fall on the ground. It was like coriander seed. It was like dew. And if you didn't pick it up that day, it disappeared. And then the next day it appeared again. He was using it as a tool to teach them. March, eat, rest. Okay, that's what he was showing them. Verse 24, "So they laid it up until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord.'" Because they did 6 days. They did two times the amount on the sixth day. "Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Verse 27, "Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none." God probably was shaking his head saying, "When are these people going to get it? Didn't I just tell them there would be none out there?" But that was part of the teaching. Remember, these people were used to being slaves. They were not used to thinking. They were not used to acting themselves. They were beaten down by the system they were under for hundreds of years. We don't know for exactly how many hundreds of years. We just know they were in Egypt for 430 years. A lot of that time, they were treated properly because they remembered Joseph, as you spoke about in the ladies' club. They remembered Joseph, but soon enough people came, generations passed, or they didn't remember Joseph anymore, and the Israelites became a threat. God had to start over again. Now, everything God does, he does with a specific purpose in mind. Point number four, why did he create the Sabbath? Point number four, why did he create the Sabbath? Why did he have him go through this thing? Did he just make him feel good to see people doing what he asked, told them to do? No, there was a reason. There's always a reason when God does something. He does not throw mud on the wall and say, "Yeah, I wonder if that works." He says, "I have a plan." Just like he has a plan for the church, a plan for us individually, he had a plan for the people in the wilderness at this time. Purpose for the Sabbath, point number four. First thing was, it was a sign identifying God's people. It was a sign identifying God's people. Exodus 31. Exodus 31. And verse 13. "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, 'Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.'" Keeping the Sabbath, we understand it's God, the Lord, who sanctifies us. And I ask you, are we not different? What are you doing here on a Saturday, dressed up, listening to somebody speak to you? I mean, couldn't you find something else better to do? I'm here out in the world, for sure. What were your neighbors doing today? What were your neighbors doing? Well, when I left, they were still in bed, I think. We have a long drive. But what would they be doing today? They'd be out maybe cutting the lawn if they had grass that grew in the winter out here, right? Now, my grass goes dormant in the winter, so I get the lawn half a year. I don't have to cut it all year. Playing golf. Yeah, some play golf. That's a good thing to do, I guess, if you're not keeping the Sabbath. Sleeping. Oh, yeah. Don't have to get up at 5 in the morning, get on the freeway, going to work. Sleep. Watching sports on television. Going to the job, oh yeah, some people have to work on Saturday. I remember times when they wanted me to come in on Saturday. They were disappointed. Maybe they were just wondering why you were all dressed up and leaving the house so early. It was funny, one time when we lived over in the other place many years ago, my neighbor came over and knocked on the door, and she said, handed me a tie and said, "Could you tie this tie for me?" I said, "What's up?" And she said, "My husband and I are going to a wedding today, and I know you know how to tie a tie because I see you leave every week with a tie." I tied it for her and slipped over my head and gave it back to her, and she was very happy. But it's like really weird, you know. What people know what you are doing. You are strange. As I say, we be different. We be different. It's an identifying sign of the people of God that we know who our God is, and He knows who we are. Why did God make the Sabbath? What's the purpose? He also made it for man. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Mark 2, verse 27. Mark 2, verse 27. Mark 2 and verse 27. Mark 2, verse 27. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You know, our loving God gave us a Sabbath as a rest day. It's a gift. And you know, sometimes teenagers especially look at the Sabbath as a burden because they can't go out Friday night with their friends. Well, all I can say to you teenagers is that you will grow up sometime, and after you've worked 40 or 50 years, 6 days a week, you'll go, it's a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath. And you'll be happy to be able to turn it off for a day, to unwind for a day. And I always say, if you don't appreciate the Sabbath, then go out and work the days you're supposed to work. You will appreciate the Sabbath, the time off, the time off. It's a gift. Now, obviously, Christ and the Pharisees had different views on how to observe the Sabbath. And again, just like those washings that Mr. Borgia was talking about and everything else, a lot of that was added by the Pharisees. And you can't blame them, really, because they knew that the reason the people of Israel went into such captivities and had such pain was because they went into idolatry and they didn't keep the Sabbath. So their idea was, we're just going to put a high fence around everybody, make sure that they don't go through that fence, and we'll be safe. So you can't fault them for it, but they were really off base. And I'll show you some things here that's really funny when you get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's look over in Luke 6 and verse 6 to see one of the confrontations Christ had with the Pharisees. Luke 6 and verse 6. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. Yes, Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath. And he taught on that day. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. Now, where do you find that in the Old Testament that it's wrong to heal on the Sabbath? Not there. Not there. But they had a rule. That was work. They had a rule. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts. Oh, I wish I could do that. Someday. You know, like this. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. What does he merely mean? Okay. He knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. Couldn't you imagine it? Come up here and stand right here, right in front of everybody. And he arose and stood. And Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. It is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy. Jesus a lot of times liked to put a question to him, embarrass him a little bit. And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Wow. They all said, praise God. No, they didn't. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to him. Well-meaning, but way off base. Well-meaning, but way off base. Matthew 23, verse 1. Matthew 23, verse 1. Rather than praising God for a miracle they just saw, they figured, how can we get this guy? How can we get this guy? Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Yes, they did. At that time, they did. Therefore, whatever they tell you to do, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their little fingers. The Pharisees specialized in making lots of rules that God never intended. And I can't find any command in the Bible that says do not heal on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees made such rules and they insisted that people keep those rules. There's an interesting website. I'd like to encourage you all to look it up if you want to see something that really is interesting about what rules Orthodox Jewish people adhere to with respect to the Sabbath. The website is called www.ou.org. www.ou.org. OU stands for Orthodox Union. Orthodox Union. And on that website, you will find 39 categories of work that we should not be doing on the Sabbath, according to this website. 39 categories of work. And I'm going to just touch on a couple of them here today and show you how this gets to be ridiculous very quickly. Okay, first one, carrying. You're not supposed to carry things, okay? Burning. Not supposed to burn things. Extinguishing. Finishing. Writing. Erasing. Don't make a mistake. Don't erase. Washing, sewing, tearing, knotting. And it goes right down. Planting, reaping. I agree with those. Selecting, sifting, grinding, kneading. And these are all things. Weaving. Trapping. Don't trap any animals. Turn your mouse traps off on the weekend so we don't catch any little mouse and you sin. Slaughtering, skinning, tanning. Let me give you a couple ideas. Okay, let's take one. Number two, burning. Now, you get down into the detail of this, it gets really obtuse. Burning involves making a fire or causing anything to burn. Okay, I'll buy that. Don't burn your house down on the Sabbath. Even throwing a toothpick into the fire is considered a violation of the Sabbath under this category. Uh-oh. This is another category of work mentioned specifically in the Torah. We find Exodus 35:3, you shall not light a fire at home on the Sabbath day. Now again, in the context, we're talking a fire here for your business. Let's say you're a blacksmith. You don't want to be lighting a fire and doing horseshoes. But they take it to extreme. Use of fire is one of the prime ways which man demonstrates his mastery over nature. Indeed, the use of fire is one of the cornerstones of human civilization. It is fire that allows man to extract energy, its most basic requirement from nature. Thus, in a sense, it is also a prototype of Sabbath work. Now, an automobile engine works by burning gasoline. Turning the ignition and stepping on the accelerator causes it to burn. Therefore, it is forbidden to drive a car on the Sabbath. Oh, you sinful people. Did any of you walk here today? No, it would have been a long time. It was 103 miles for us. I was hoping to find one righteous person. Didn't anybody live down the block that could have walked today? It's hard to find a righteous person. Heating a piece of metal so that it glows is also a category of burning. When an electric light is turned on, its filament is heated white hot, producing light. This is therefore forbidden on the Sabbath. So turn the lights off too. But can you see how this would be totally ridiculous today in observing? How would we get to services? You couldn't even have a light at home, and for sure you wouldn't want to turn on the computer. Wow, such technology. But of course it's not in here on that. In general, any use of electricity violates the spirit of the Sabbath, since it involves extracting energy from nature. According to many authorities, electricity has the same status as fire with regard to the Sabbath. Number four, finishing. This includes completing any useful article, even where there is no category of work involved. It includes all forms of repairs and adjustments. For example, putting together a machine in this category, even when other type of work is done. This heading also forbids us to cut or tear paper in any way. Where is this going to go? To take a very mundane example, one may not tear toilet paper on the Sabbath. Religious Jews, therefore, only use pre-cut paper. Now, I don't know. If you're a Jew and you go to a restaurant, maybe you wouldn't go to a restaurant. That might be bad, too. But you carry it with you in your purse? What? You know what I'm saying? This gets ridiculous. Do you know any places that have pre-cut toilet paper? I don't. They're all on rolls, for all I know. Big rolls, little rolls, but they're on rolls. See how it gets to be ridiculous if you start specifying every little thing. Here's another one. 31, building. Building. Okay, this includes all building and assembly activities. Okay, if you're a contractor, you don't want to be building on the Sabbath. And frankly, if I have a shed I'm building in the backyard, I'm not a contractor, but I could build a shed. I shouldn't be doing that on the Sabbath. I agree. That makes sense. I shouldn't be building on the Sabbath. That is work. That doesn't have to be done on that day. All building repairs come under this heading, even driving a nail into a wall. So don't hang any pictures. It includes pitching any kind of a tent. The spirit of the law even forbids opening an umbrella, even when it will not be carried outside, since it affords the same protection from the elements as a tent. Sure glad the weather improved. We'd all be sinning coming up to the building today. Umbrella, that's like building a tent. That comes under building. So if you want a good laugh, go to that website and read some of these scriptures and find out how silly it is for people to have a detailed list of what you can do and what you cannot do. And this was what Christ was against when he said the Sabbath was made for man and the Pharisees put all kinds of burdens on him. That's what he was talking about. You can only walk so far. You can't do this. You can't do that. And again, they were well-intentioned, but they got to the point of being totally ridiculous. God does not give us a list of 39 things we should not do on the Sabbath. God gives us guidelines. He gives us words that tell us what he would like to see as far as attitude. And it's up to us to figure it out and put it in our hearts and live the way he wants us to live. Christianity, as I've said before, is heart surgery that we do on ourselves. He wants us to have a heart, like he said with David, a man after his own heart. He wants us to want to obey. And maybe when we're young and inexperienced, like the teenager who thinks the Sabbath is a burden because they can't go with their friends on Friday night, maybe we have to mature past that to think the Sabbath is a blessing. Let me meditate on how it's a blessing rather than how it's a problem. Point number six, God wants us to obey and be blessed. Point number six, God wants us to obey and be blessed. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 and verse 2. Leviticus 26 and verse 2. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, and the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. major drought going on in Africa now with the locusts eating up what is growing. There's going to be a lot of people starving over there soon, up in the Sierra region. That's a very large desert that's growing, the Sahara Desert. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. That means you're just going to get done harvesting. It's going to be time to plant. It means you're going to have lots of food for yourself to sell, to store up for years of drought or famine. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. You know, here in this country, we go to the grocery store and we find whatever we want any time of the year. And if we have enough money, we can buy almost anything we want. Most of us have enough, certainly, to live. Wasn't always that so. Wasn't always that way. If you had a bad crop, people starved. You couldn't store things indefinitely. You couldn't ship them from South America when it was winter up here. You know, we can get grapes or avocados or bananas any time of the year we want them. Isn't that weird? If you live in places I've lived before, like Illinois, where you get 3 feet of snow in the winter, you could eat fresh fruits and vegetables. Well, they weren't grown locally, I'll tell you that. But we can get that. But it wasn't always that way. God says, do what I tell you to do. Observe the Sabbaths I give you, and I will bless you. You shall eat your bread to the full, he says at the end of 5. Verse 6, I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. And there's a feast over in Israel this year, and they've had some openings, but as much as I'd like to go to Israel, I don't want to go over there this time of year, this time in the history of the world, because there are neighbors that throw rockets over the borders every now and then, and they blow up. Don't want to do that. I like it here better. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. And you will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. And I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful and multiply and confirm my covenant with you. God says, do what I ask you to do. I want it to be a blessing. If you can wrap your mind around that and obey, I can bless you. I can bless you. And I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people, it says. And what happened when Israel did not keep the Sabbath? Destruction, captivity, exile. Check out the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. Not going to go into that now. Got a time limit. That's a sad story. But it happened, and it's history. And it's real. But God does not want to punish his people. He wants us to obey him so he can bless us. Point number 7, God wants us to obey from the heart. In the letter, for sure, but in the heart, he wants us to become people who obey him because it's the right thing to do and it's internal within us to do it. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Another beautiful scripture here. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Oh, that they had a heart in them, that they would fear me always. Fear means respect here. They would respect me always and keep all my commandments, and that includes the Sabbath, that it might be well with them and their children forever. And that also includes clean and unclean, like we heard in the sermonette. That's all part of being blessed. If you know not to eat that stuff and you eat it, don't expect God to say, oh, I'll cleanse it all in your case. You're special. No, he's going to say, you've decided to take your course. You get what you get, unfortunately. God wants us to obey from the heart, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Parents, what you do, your children will either benefit or not. If you've come into the church and you have a young family like we did when we came in the church, actually before we had a young family, our kids have always been in the church. Isn't that weird? Your kids will be blessed. They will be taught. and they will reap the benefits of that. They will not have some of the problems you had. You can change it in your generation. As much as you can. Now, you can't, no guarantees, but you can do the right things you know to do and hope God overlooks the things you didn't do properly. Oh, boy, we parents have lots to learn. Our children are great teachers. If I tell you we just spent a week taking care of our 3-year-old granddaughter, Emily had to go to Michigan to take care of her dad. He was in the hospital, and he came home, and she had to go there. And so Chris had to stay and work, so we went over and camped out in Durham for almost a week and a half with a 3-year-old. I haven't had a 3-year-old in a long time. Oh, do they have energy? It was a joy, but oh, it was a thing. We were glad to get home about 4 o'clock on Friday when Emily came into town. It was good, but she was a joy. But she wasn't. I got a workout. It was good. It was good. God's commandments were not created to make life difficult. They were created because they are good and they are holy, and obeying them brings blessings for our children. Ezekiel 36. Let's go over there. Ezekiel 36. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel 36. And verse 24. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24. For I will take you from all the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. And this is a reference to the coming kingdom. It's dual. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Water, Holy Spirit. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Oh, yeah. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The people in the wilderness never got to that point. God had to say, you're done. I'll take the next generation. We can start over. They'll have their chance coming down the road. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And you will dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. God wants more than ever for him to be our God and for us to know it. But there are rules. Now, getting a new heart for most of the world will be a future event. For us in the Church of God, the time is now. We are called to do that now. We can grow in that way now by listening, by studying, by applying, by getting better at being better. Point number 8. Let's talk about guidelines for observing the Sabbath from the heart. Guidelines for observing the Sabbath from the heart. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. This is the one place in the Bible where all the feasts of the Lord are listed. And what's the first one they list? 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, you understand and I understand that most of the world is totally out of step with this command. Totally out of step with this command. God says we should work 6 days, and many do not. God says we should rest on the seventh day, and most do not. And while we are not working, while we are resting, we are also commanded to have a holy convocation. You are here today. Whenever possible, you ought to gather with God's people on the Sabbath. That means God wants us to assemble at Sabbath services. To do these three simple things, work 6 days, rest on the Sabbath, and assemble together, is no small matter in the world today. It's hard to do it. Okay? The world is not geared for us to do that. If you have a job, they may want you to work on Saturday. Can't do it. You like being employed? Yes, but I can't do it. Okay. It's hard to do. It takes faith. It takes faith backed by action. If you've worked out there in the real world for any length of time, you will have a Sabbath issue. I know that. That's a test. It's a test. Not an actual attack yet, but it's a test. Pass the test, and you can go to step B. And you will occasionally get times when you have to stand up for it. Like I thought, once I retired, it would never be an issue. They can't get me. I don't have to answer to any boss anymore. Well, except, you know. Friend of mine over there. But, you know, just a few months ago, I was having some work done on the front steps of our new house. It needed to be redone. And I had a guy over there, and he was over there. And, of course, it was raining like it is now, off and on, off and on, off and on. And they got right to the very end of the project, and it was Friday. And he said, "We'll be back tomorrow to finish." He thought he was doing me a favor, right? We'll get it done. I told you we'd get it done fast. You know, I said, okay. I said, well, tomorrow won't work. Oh, why? He said, you don't have to be here for us to finish. I said, no, tomorrow won't work. We're going to be gone, and we don't work on Saturday. Oh, well, we can come Monday. It was a test. I could have said, I'm gone. Who knows? Who cares what they're doing at my house? But what does it say about your manservant and your maidservant? I mean, if I'm hiring somebody to do my steps, I think that would fall under manservant. Again, I can't find it in the list of 39 don'ts, but from the heart, it sounds like they would be my servant, wouldn't they? Since I'm hiring them to do that. Just like I would not hire someone to come in on Saturday to clean my house, right? Or my business, or whatever. It's the same thing. So you will get tests. Just remember what you believe and state very clearly what you can do and what you cannot do, and God will back you because you are on the right side. What we've got over here is much bigger than what's out there. Do what's right, and you can expect God to do whatever he has to make the job work. To make the job work. I've seen people lose their jobs over the Sabbath, and you know what? They got a better one. It's happened. And we must truly believe that God will reward those who diligently seek him. I'll just give you Hebrews 11:6. You can look that up on your own time. God will reward those who diligently seek him and do our best. It will not be perfect. I'll guarantee you that. It will not be perfect. But it will be moving in the right direction. Guideline, Isaiah 58, verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you will turn your foot from my Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on high hills of the earth and feed you on the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's take a close look at these two verses and see if we can come up with some wisdom out of here. Turn your foot away from the Sabbath, it says. What does this imply? It says, don't tread on my Sabbath. respect my Sabbath. You know, one of the best ways to not tread on the Sabbath is the preparation day. The preparation day. That's the day before the Sabbath. You know, we always have a list in our planners about what we're going to do the day before, so when the sun goes down, we can enjoy the Sabbath. Now, there are times when you're going to have to run all the way to the end and just, when the sun sets, just say, done. But if that's the way it always is, you need to look at revamping your schedule. Okay? I mean, nothing's perfect. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes something happens at the last minute and you come squeaking in at the very end. Haven't taken the garbage out, haven't done anything, haven't prepared ahead, but it's done. So go to the potluck and let them feed you rather than you bringing stuff like normal. You know, one of these times, once in a while you got to do it. Once in a while you got to do it. But if you're always too tired to observe the Sabbath, if you're always harried at the last minute, then you need to take a look and say, what can I do to make the Sabbath a delight? What can I do to prepare a little more the day before so that it's a delight? How about from doing your pleasure on my holy day? This refers to our hobbies, what we do. You know, I'm not a golfer, but some people play golf. If you work 5 days a week, Saturday is usually a golf day for a lot of people. Got a neighbor that plays golf on Saturday. Hasn't invited me to go yet. I can get out of that one easily. Hey, Doug, I don't play golf. Oh, okay. You know, especially on that day. I don't have to tell him that. But I have to ask the question, is playing golf your thing or God's thing? Well, maybe God plays golf, but he didn't play on the Sabbath. Okay. So you have to ask a question. I remember one time we were first coming into the church. Back then it was in, you know, this was B.C., before children, a long time ago. And we were just learning about the church. In fact, we didn't even know it was a church. Back then on the program, it used to say, Ambassador College presents The World Tomorrow. You remember that? Ambassador College, that sounded pretty cool. Didn't know there was a church. Didn't know there was a church. But once we figured it out, we invited a pastor to come over, and he counseled us. And we were always sitting on the Sabbath on the sofa reading the Bible all day. And we were in an apartment complex. They had a nice pool and stuff. And we asked him, think we could go out and jump in the pool a little bit on the Sabbath? He said, yeah, just don't make it all day event. Refresh yourself a little bit. You don't have to sit on the couch and read the Bible all day. Now, again, we didn't know about church services or anything. Again, this is a process. We learn as we go. We learn as we go. We get better as we do. Nor speaking your own words. What do we talk about on the Sabbath? The latest baseball scores? Now, we should focus on his way and his words. And we're talking focus here, obviously. You know, when the 49ers lost, there were a lot of people unhappy, especially from where we came from. So we could say, yeah, it's too bad. And then let's move on to something else. You know, it's a matter of focus. It's a matter of focus. And shall honor him by doing all the above, we honor him. Sabbath needs to be different from the previous 6 days. The focus should not be on our things, but God's things. Sabbath is a type of the world to come. We are in training for the world to come. We are in training for a government that we will be running. And we train by getting instruction and repeating those actions over and over and over again. When you learn to fly an airplane, you get what you have as muscle memory. First, you have to go through the motions and physically, mentally go through the motions. Once you've done it enough, you have muscle memory. I drive a straight stick shift car, right? I never think about what gear I'm in anymore. It just goes automatically. Head to hand, driving conditions to hand, don't think about it. When you first start out, it's, right? You know, but that was a long time ago. So the Sabbath should be different than the 6 previous days, and we need to be training, get that pattern of the kingdom in. Okay, point number 9. Wrap it up here in the next 10 minutes. Guidelines for observing the Sabbath from the heart. Well, Mr. Kozer, can I watch TV on the Sabbath, movies, media, etc.? Well, let's answer that with a question. Is it positive? Is it uplifting? Does it honor God? I would not watch Die Hard movies on the Sabbath. They might be entertaining, but they're now probably not Sabbath material. Is it doing your thing or God's thing? Is it a delight for you and those around you? How much of the day will be spent doing the activity? One movie, or are you going to watch 42 movies during the Sabbath? You know, we're going to do a Star Wars series or something, you know? Think about it. It's a hard issue. Use your imagination. Use the guidelines. Well, do I always have to attend services on the Sabbath? No, there will be times when a trip to the mountains will be in order. However, if you always find yourself in the mountains or other in Sabbath services, now we have a problem. Okay? Because God says, gather yourself together with his people, a commanded assembly. Okay? And there are times when you're sick and you should stay home. It's called quarantine, another basic rule. Mr. Borgna and I were talking about that earlier. Solve a multitude of problems. But what about the ox in the ditch? Well, how many oxes do you own? And how often do they fall in the ditch? Again, a question of degree, isn't it? It's a question of heart. Let's go over to Luke 14 quickly. Ox in the ditch. Luke 14. We'll go back to the scripture where that shows that. Luke 14 and verse 1. Luke 14 and verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him closely. Behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. That's verse 2. Verse 3. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He's putting it to him again, isn't he? Because he knew what they were thinking, but they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Ox in the ditch. Ox in the ditch. The ox needed help. This is the principle. It couldn't help itself. This is the principle. Leaving it in the ditch would have been at best cruel and at worst maybe dangerous for the animal and for anybody around. Tried to get out and mauled somebody or gored somebody. So we pull them out of the ditch. It's the right thing to do. If you get a flat tire on the freeway over here, change the tire. I know it's work, but it's better than sitting on the side of the road. Get it changed, put the spare on, call AAA, whatever you have to do, and get to services. That's what we do. If you did not plan ahead and there's no gasoline in the car, put some gas in the car. Don't just come on fumes hoping that God will bless you to get you home. Take a minute and do it. I know it's work, but it's not. And again, if you'd planned ahead, it would have been okay. Next time you talk, I'm planning ahead, God. I'm not going to get in that situation again. But do it and do it. That's the ox in the ditch principle. That's what we need to do. Well, Mr. Kozer, what can I do on the Sabbath? Okay, I'm going to give you a partial list, and you get to add to it. Attend services. Assemble together, right? It's pretty plain. Take a walk. Pray. Meditate. You know, a lot of times, when you got to get up at 5 in the morning like I used to, get on the road by 6, be at work at 7, not a lot of time in the morning to pray, unless you want to get up at 3. Feast, don't fast. Eat, drink, and rejoice. It's a feast day, not a fast day. Do a family Bible study. Listen to some good music. Yes, relax. Sing songs like we do here. Sometime at Chris and Emily's house, Chris plays the piano, Emily sings and plays guitar, and Annabelle bangs on the drum, and we sing. It's good. It's a good thing. Do some planning, goal setting with family. Plan the feast. Where are you going to the feast? The list is out. Think about it. The list is out. Good thing to talk about. Go to a park. Play with your children. You have time. Your kids have mom and dad. Watch a family movie. If dad likes to cook, maybe he'll fix lunch. Just remind him to clean up afterwards, after the Sabbath. Sleep late if you have opportunity. Entertain. Catch up on Beyond Today programs. You think of the other activities that fit your life and your family for the Sabbath that are within those guidelines of not stomping all over God's Sabbath and properly honoring Him. Conclusion. Brethren, God created the Sabbath for all mankind. We know it now. Most of the world has not a clue. It's okay. Their time is coming. But it's a gift. It's a gift for us if we recognize it. He also made it a sign that identifies us as His people. Ta-da! Here we are, God's people. Our job is to understand its purpose and to observe it as He intended. It's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. As mature Christians, we begin to understand that properly observing God's Sabbath does not consist of 39 categories of things not to do. I did a sermon once on music, and at the end, some lady came up and said, "Could you just give me a list of songs which would be good?" And I said, "No." No, as soon as I did, there'd be a whole bunch of other ones that I didn't have on the list. And let's say you were Asian, and there was some music that sounded really strange to me. What did it do to you? Was it good music? Was it bad music? Did it inspire you, or did it put you in a funk? I don't know. It's a heart issue. And same thing with the Sabbath. Follow the guidelines, and then do what your heart says to do. And this will change over time as you mature in the faith. It's not a list of 39 categories of things not to do. Rather, we learn what God considers appropriate. We will willingly do those things from the heart. That's the goal. And you know what? God promises to bless us mightily when we obey Him. Have a great Sabbath.